From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A 25-year-old black man was killed in Georgia more than 2 months ago by a white father and his son for seemingly doing little more than going for a run in the suburban neighborhood of Santilla Shores. Now, 64-year-old Gregory McMichael and his 34-year-old son Travis have finally been arrested by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation in the fatal shooting of Ahmaud Arbery. But those arrests came after Arbery's family and local activists relentlessly demanded action, and after the story of the young runner's killing drew national headlines. Georgia authorities say there will be no hate crimes charges in a case that has ignited tensions reminiscent of those that swept the nation after Trayvon Martin's killing in Florida. To honor Ahmaud on his birthday on Friday, joggers from all over the nation planned to run 2.23 miles to honor the young man under the banner of hashtag IRunWithMaud. We are now joined by Cedric King, who is a local activist in Georgia who's been active on the situation, and by Ahmaud's aunt, Thea Brooks. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you.
I'd like to start with Thea. Can you tell me a little bit about who your nephew was and how you understand what happened to him? We know there's a video, a very disturbing video. So it's sort of clear from an outsider's perspective what happened. But how do you view what happened to him? And tell us a little bit about who he was.
Ahmaud was a great young man. Ahmaud was a young man of mannerism. He was very respectful. Everything was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. He was a loving young man. He loved his family. He was very family oriented. He loved sports. And he loves to stay in shape.
So explain what you think happened to him. And Cedric, feel free to jump in.
He was killed, I think, out of hate. I think it really, to be honest, because of the color of his skin.
Yeah, and so, you know, I can't speak to what was going on through the McMichael's mind, but, you know, it's obvious from the video that there was some type of mean intent there, and it's just a sad and tragic situation that is currently affecting the lives of many, has kind of upset the entire community, the state of Georgia, and people across the nation. And so, we're really heartbroken and really upset about everything that's transpired because of the video that we've been able to witness.
So I understand that Mr. Gregory McMichael is a former police officer. The two of them, him and his son, were armed. Of course, Ahmaud wasn't armed. He was simply taking a run in this neighborhood, in this suburban neighborhood. And the McMichaels say, you know, the what they have said to police sounds like the kinds of things we have heard from so many people around the country who have justified profiling, in particular young black men, that he looked like a suspect in a series of nearby break-ins. How do you respond to this, you know, justification that the suspected killers have given?
For me personally, I find it extremely hard to believe. Ahmaud had on a white t-shirt, some shorts, and some running shoes. He had nothing on his person, and he was familiar with this route. It is my understanding that he jogs in this neighborhood all the time. And speaking to, you know, this type of racial profiling across the nation, I get up every morning. I'm a local entrepreneur, and I have a business that I have to open up. And once I open it up and secure everything, I go for a morning jog. And a lot of times it's before the break of dawn. And I hate the fact that, you know, we can't even jog. You know, being black young men in America, we cannot jog without being racially profiled because we're jogging, running, trotting down a street that we've automatically been assumed or alleged to have committed a crime is the reason for us running. So, you know, it's just heartbreaking. And you would think in 2020 that we are far past a lot of the racial stereotypes that have existed and that have harmed the lives of our young many brothers and sisters across this country and the world.
Ms. Brooks, how do you respond to the fact that police did not arrest Gregory and Travis McMichael for 2 months, more than 2 months? What was the justification for that?
There's really no justification for it. The ball just got dropped, and it's just an injustice in what we saw.
I understand that he was claiming that he was engaged in a citizen's arrest when the killing happened, and therefore therefore police essentially backed off. I mean, we can only imagine if the tables had been turned and if the suspected killers were people of color and the victims white.
So what we do know is that there was a 911 call, and the operator kept asking over and over, okay, you see a young black man running. What has he done? What has he done? They could not even speak of any crime that he had committed for them to initiate a citizen's arrest in the first place. But if anybody in their right mind reviews the video, when you are perched up in a military style tactical position and armed with a shotgun, and a 357 handgun, it is not any citizen arrest that I've ever seen. I mean, it's just incredible to claim a citizen's arrest theory. So,
I understand. I understand that the two men, and we can see this in the video. They chased him down with a truck. I mean, he wasn't necessarily even close to or in front of their own house. They chased him down with weapons?
Yes. So actually there were two vehicles. And to say chase down, the McMichaels had drove actually, and I can't speak to it without knowing exactly how they got ahead of Ahmad. They got way ahead of Ahmad, and there was a videotape of the vehicle that was actually coming up at the rear of Ahmad. And what had happened was he had really nowhere to go. It was almost like a trap was set up. He had to go forward. He could not return backwards because he saw one of their friends or neighbors who is being investigated currently right now to see if any wrongdoing took place with him. But currently, he had no other option but to go forward, and he even tried to avert it, the McMichaels, and go around to the passenger side because the McMichaels' son was out on the driver's side with a shotgun. I mean, he could go nowhere.
So you're referring to the fact that the person, and there are reports saying that there are potentially three suspects involved. Only two have been arrested, and that third may be the person who actually videotaped from behind, who is now being investigated as well. Some have referred to what happened to your nephew, Thea, as a modern-day lynching. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As Mr. King said, if you watch the video, it's pretty clear to see that it looked like it was planned, and that they came and they did exactly what they came to do.
Tell me, Thea, about the family, about Ahmad's mother in particular, and how you and other family members have been calling for action on this case. It seems as though the Georgia Bureau of Investigation might not have arrested these two men had it not been for the relentless activism by family members, by activists like Cedric.
Our response to that, my mom and father have been going through a difficult time. So they haven't really been speaking out much except for in press conferences with their attorneys by their side. So we really haven't seen as much, you know, filming toward them because they're kind of dealing with it on their own. But I know that after, on Thursday, when the situation happened and the arrests were made, I do know that it was some kind of relief of like a heavy burden lifted off of their shoulders to see that now everything is going in the right direction. I really think that on Tuesday when we went out and we protested and we walked, that things made a difference. We just needed to be heard. We needed to let them know that we weren't letting up, we weren't getting comfortable, and we couldn't be silent. So I think it made a difference, and they knew that they had to do something.
I'm speaking with Cedric King, a local activist in Georgia, and Thea Brooks, the aunt of Ahmaud Arbery. And the two of them are speaking to me from a car. They've just been to a rally around the case of Ahmaud Arbery's killing. Cedric, tell me about the rally. Tell me about also the other activism that has been taking place in and around Georgia demanding justice for Ahmaud. I imagine that it's more challenging than ever, considering that, you know, we are dealing with a quarantine, although your state of Georgia has opened up.
Yes, but it's been very challenging. And what we knew about what was going to go on with activism is that as soon as some of the restrictions loosened up, that it was going to actually keep increasing. And we were going to have outside interest extending on our little local coastal community. So the local activism that went on, and we had a huge rally on Friday, which, you know, sad to say, which was would have been Ahmaud's birthday, and it was headed by the NAACP, state organization of Georgia, where we had folks and leaders and other community activists from all across the state come in, and they spoke and they inspired the crowd. One thing that I want to make sure that our community is very proud of and we want to be an exemplary model of is that behind the scenes is more of the activism and the work that I've been a part of. We came together, and this was not a black move or a white move. It was a community move. And what we wanted to do is show not only the nation but the world that you can come in, we can riot, we can demonstrate peacefully without tearing up a community. We all have to live here. We all have to work here. We all have to raise our families here. And we want to make sure we demonstrate together, united, white and black together, to demonstrate that we all felt a sense of sympathy, a sense of anger that this vile act would happen in our community. And we wanted to demonstrate that no acts of vigilantism would be allowed and tolerated in our community. We embraced the peaceful demonstrations that had also happened out in the Satilla Shores community, led by Thea and her friends. They mobilized very quickly. There were several hundreds of folks that ascended on that community within about 30 minutes. It was all peaceful, tastefully done, in coordination with law enforcement efforts. And, you know, the neighbors in Satilla Shores themselves, they were shocked and saddened by the gravity in which the events unfolded in their small little quiet neighborhood. And they came out and actually interacted and embraced with a lot of the protesters in show of support. So I think all of the messages, all the supports, all of the celebrities from across the country, from LeBron James to Vice President Biden, presidential candidate Biden, from Stacey Abrams, from senatorial candidate here in Georgia, Warnock, all of the other community leaders, we banded together and supported this family through this most tragic and horrific event.
Now, the authorities in Georgia have said that there will be no hate crimes charges against these two men that were arrested more than 2 months after the killing happened. When asked why, the Georgia Bureau of Investigations Director Vic Reynolds said in a press conference on Friday, there's no hate crime in Georgia. Sort of a sweeping statement, it seems. But Thea, Do you agree with this assessment? Should there be hate crimes charges facing these two men or not?
I think it should be. I mean, as I go back to it, you look at the video, it was a clear hate crime. You see a young man, as Mr. King said, just jogging on his way. It also shows in the video where Ahmad attempted to go around the truck that was stationary in the street, and he ran into a gunman on the other side of the truck where he had to fight to try to live, and he still died. So I think hate crimes should be a charge.
And to piggyback on that, I'm actually running for the state Senate seat, which is District 3 for the state of Georgia. And within the Senate, there's a bill, State House Bill 166, that's sitting there waiting to be acted upon. If I'm elected, that would be one of the first actionable items that I will push if it does not be called and reviewed and called for a vote when the local legislative delegation of the state of Georgia convenes on June 11th, I think it is, which would be middle of next month.
What do you make of the national attention that this case has received? I drew a parallel with the killing of Trayvon Martin in Florida by George Zimmerman. That was a case that actually was what inspired the birth of the Black Lives Matter movement all around the country. And it was, you know, somewhat similar. A young Black man in Trayvon Martin's case, of course, a boy, walking around a neighborhood and, you know, minding his own business and shot down by a vigilante, an armed vigilante, who, of course, ultimately walked free. But that particular case raised a huge amount of outrage around the country. Do you see similarities to Ahmaud Arbery's killing?
So yes, I do see quite starking similarities. However, you know, a lot of mistakes were made on the onset of this case. On Friday, there were revelations that there was some interference with our local DA with the initial arrest. But we were comforted on Friday in that when the bond request came upon for the two suspects that it was denied. And so what we want to just focus on now is that, one, we've kind of reset what should have started and been the case back on February 23rd. We knew that the COVID situation really impacted a lot of the attention that this would garner, because quite frankly, even here in the local newspaper, there was very little information, very little details circulated in the newspaper about the case. However, as it started to circulate amongst the family and their activism and making sure that everybody was aware of what was going on, you do see stark similarities. However, we're going to have faith in that when the GBI, the investigation arm of the state of Georgia, took this case, 36 hours later, an arrest was made. Now we have them where it's no bond available. We want to make sure that we kind of reinstill the confidence in the judicial system here in Georgia, and that, yes, they will get due process, but yes, this family will also get the justice and the justice for Ahmaud that I think this whole community is longing for and Ahmaud deserves.
More than 100,000 people around the country have registered to run or had registered to run on Friday, the day that was would have been Ahmaud's birthday. And I'm not sure. So the significance, I believe, of the 2.23 miles that people are running marks the date that he was killed. How do you feel about this national attention, about the solidarity from around the country by people who are trying to honor this young man's life, Thea?
It's great. I mean, it's a great feeling. Ahmaud died a hero. He has touched so many lives through his death. And Friday, absolutely amazing. It was a day of celebration, not only because of the arrest, but because it was his birthday. And so when you can see the whole world come together for one person, you just get so happy and you feel, because one life changed the whole nation.
Well, I want to ask the two of you what you would like to see happen next, because, of course, once the cameras go away, it and the justice system, of course, naturally does take time. But there's a lot of momentum right now. What are activists calling on to happen now that these arrests have been made? What do you hope will happen? Because, of course, there is always the risk, given that our criminal justice system is, you know, documented as being pretty deeply racially biased. What are you hoping happens or needs to happen in order to keep the fire lit under authorities in Georgia?
Well, now we're waiting for a conviction. We have the arrest, we have the charges, now we need a conviction. Once we get a conviction, then we'll move forward with the court proceeding, and then we have the support of our activists, support of the community, and we're going to be there, and we're going to sit in on these court hearings. And we're going to be there. We're going to be vigilant to what's going on. And we're going to make sure that the justice is served for Ahmaud.
And then I think after all of that, this community must heal. We must deal with a way to bond and to glue and keep our community together. We must address things as though they are. And, you know, let's take back. One thing that COVID has allowed us to do is realize that there will be a new normal, okay? We are saddened again by these events happening, but we must not let this be in vain. We must become more closer as a community, look out for one another, love on each other, and do what's right to make sure that this community comes back stronger than ever.
Well, I want to thank the two of you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you, and we'll certainly follow this story as it unfolds. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
My guests have been Cedric King, a local community activist leader in Georgia who's running for statewide office, and Thea Brooks, the aunt of Ahmaud Arbery. And we've been talking about the fact that the two suspected killers in that case were just arrested. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.